You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
Hey, welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy Monday to us all. Thank you for listening. You can be a part, 855-752-4842. Super jazz to introduce to you right now, Scott Ross, Mr. Ethics. He is a Gen Xer, and most importantly, shares my birthday, makes him a Gemini. Scott, welcome to the show, man.
Good to talk to you, Dom. How are you today?
I'm doing great, man. Thank you so much. It's been a while since we talked. Wanted to catch up and hear what you have to say, your take on what the world is offering us these days. I want to start once again, Donald Trump in the state of Wisconsin, apparently the fourth time in recent weeks. And the language that he's using, Scott, is very problematic, in my opinion. Quote, if we lose this election, this country is finished. I really believe this country is finished. If he loses the election, it's because it's rigged. If he loses the election, it's because they tried to assassinate him. You know, there's no way he can possibly lose the election. And his son also reinforcing this idea that somehow, some way, the Democrats are responsible for these terrible attempts on Trump's life, which of course is not the case. But what's your take on the language and the mood coming out of the Trump campaign these days, Scott?
Well, I mean, I think it's just the continuation of what we've seen for the last 9 years with this clown. You know, remember that when he descended the escalator in June of 2015, he immediately attacked immigrants with racist, disgusting language. We knew during that campaign, it came out about how he bragged about sexually assaulting women. You know, in the interim, he, you know, did things like, you know, banning religions from coming into the United States, things that are wholly and completely unconstitutional. He, you know, put three illegitimate Supreme Court justices on, which took away the rights of women and declared women second class citizens in the United States. And then from there, you know, we had, you know, before that, we had the Stop the Steal and the fact that he, for the first time in American history, a president refused to leave and honor the tradition of peaceful transition of power. You know, even though it was very clear after time after time after time, 61 lawsuits, I believe, all of them that he lost, that in fact, the voters of the United States declared, even not just the popular vote, but in the Electoral College vote, that they did not want Donald Trump returning to the White House. They wanted Joe Biden. They wanted a new direction. They wanted an end to the radicalism, to the racism, to having a rapist in the White House. And you know, he's becoming more and more unhinged. It's very clear he has had a cognitive decline. You can't listen to one of his speeches without saying at least 5 to 10 times, why is this man not in an institution somewhere? But behind him is this massive grift, you know, where people are making money. You know, it's not just the Republicans trying to get him back into office, but it's the machine of grift and fraud that surrounds this man. And it's something that surrounded him his entire life.
Yeah.
And so I don't think it's surprising. I do think that, you know, people understand the stakes. And I think that, you know, come this election, November 5th, that we are absolutely going to elect Kamala Harris to be the next president of the United States. And then hopefully there are steps in place to ensure when they try to form a coup a second time, that they are squashed the way that they should be squashed.
Scott, I mean, that's obviously the real concern. Some of the folks that were involved in the violent coup, those that ransacked the Capitol and crapped all over the walls and rummaged through the desks and attacked officers, you know, there has been some consequence for some of those folks. Now, granted, Trump said he would pardon them, which, you know, pardon me, but the thin blue line in the Law and Order Party is going to pardon a bunch of insurrectionists who beat up the cops. But apparently up is down and none of these things matter anymore. But it's not just Donald Trump. It's everyone within the MAGA, and it trickles down to the local level. And specifically, we can talk about the Dodge County Sheriff Dale Schmidt, basically strong-arming local clerks to not have the drop boxes. You got the Republican, granted it's a nonpartisan position, but he is a conservative, the mayor of Wausau, Doug Denny, who pulled this stunt where he went out and took this drop box away and hauled it away to his office. It's not just at the top, Scott. This is pervasive throughout the entirety of whatever is left of the Republican and now MAGA party.
No, absolutely. And, you know, I'm just going to say this. Who the hell do these guys think they are?
Right.
You know, because, you know, granted, there is some discussion about whether or not the U.S. Constitution specifically outlines the right to vote in it, which it doesn't exactly. You know, the amendments, the Civil War amendments, you know, the post-Civil War amendments do create, you know, that idea that voting is a right. But here in Wisconsin, you know, Article 3, Section 1 of the Wisconsin Constitution specifically says that any citizen over the age of 18 has the right to the franchise in the state of Wisconsin. And Dale Schmidt and this Denny clown, they need to get the hell out of the way. And I think that our you know, and I see that it's happening with Wausau, you know, I think that it should be, I think that Schmidt should be fired. He can be fired under the Constitution. What he has done is unconstitutional. It is clearly racist. It is the idea of law enforcement trying to bully people. It is the most disgusting aspects of Jim Crow, but brought here into the state of Wisconsin. And I think it needs to be dealt with as harshly as the law will allow it to. And that includes Denny up in Wausau. I mean, who does he think he is? He can close a polling place, essentially, that people were using. You know, he could just like wheel it into his office. That's garbage. And I know that the Department of Justice, the State Department of Justice, and the Attorney General, Josh Call's office, is investigating this. And I am glad they are doing it, because it is so violently unconstitutional when it comes to the Wisconsin state constitution. You know, that's the thing with these guys. You know, you get these MAGA guys that, like, they can't win an honest election. And so they push the idea that it's a constant lie that, you know, that if no matter what happens, they're on the right side of things. They're standing up for you. This is a bunch of, you know, clowns who are trying to help a phony billionaire give another $4 trillion in tax breaks out to rich people and corporations like he did. You know, again, it's over and over. The hypocrisy goes over and over and over.
That is Scott Ross. He's a Gemini. He's a firebrand. He is Mr. Ethics, and he's a friend of ours. Scott is noted. Scott Walker, and apparently lots of the megas out there want everyone to just, nobody's concerned about January 6th. Why you got to live in the past? Why you keep bringing it up? Why you keep asking questions? And Scott Walker is one of those folks who's got to put his name out there and jump up and down and say, don't forget me. Scott, you didn't forget Scott Walker, did you?
You know what? I blocked Scott Walker on Twitter because I wanted my life to be a little better. You know, I get irate because, you know, the guy hasn't won an election in 10 years, you know, and I think that if he's going to get to appear on television and the media talking about stuff, that a Democrat ought to be with him to call nonsense as a nonsense. I'll give you a great example. He was on Up Front this weekend, and I happen to see this because I follow people who follow those shows, right? And Walker, you know, and again, there was a newspaper article where Walker said, we need to get past, you know, January 6th. Like, this is just nonsense, you know, bringing the Confederate flag. That's another sin of the January 6th terrorist insurrection, was that they flew the Confederate flag in the United States Capitol, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
You know, and so Walker comes out and he's like, oh, we need to get past this. We need to get past it. You know, this is the guy, Dom, like, don't forget this. When he was losing his election in 2018, he was still whining that he hadn't created 250,000 jobs and that he couldn't provide public services because of the governor who was last elected in 2006 was the problem. So 12 years later, you know, and yet he's going to say that we shouldn't talk about a terrorist insurrection where, like you said, you know, a lot of low hanging fruit, a lot of, like, you know, moron follower lemmings were prosecuted. I'm disgusted with the fact that the Department of Justice and Merrick Garland, who has to be the worst attorney general we've ever had, has not prosecuted any of the elected officials that were so very clearly involved. The fact that Ron Johnson, who tried to deliver fake electors to Mike Pence, has not been prosecuted nor even investigated, it's very clear. And I just think that's ridiculous. And I you know, it's garbage. And I do hope, you know, of all the great things that Kamala Harris is going to do when she gets elected, Dom, and she will be elected, you know, firing Merrick Garland is, like, probably in my top five of things that I can't wait to see happen.
Yeah, I have to agree. He has definitely dropped the ball in these cases, Scott. What about Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call? He did bring some charges against a couple of the attorneys who were involved in the Wisconsin fraudulent elector situation, but not against guys like the guy that ran the Republican Party and some of these other
Andrew Hitt.
Thank you. Not against Hitt, not against some of these other folks, not against Bob Spindell, still a current Wisconsin elections commissioner. What's your take on that?
It seems to me that there, you know, when you go on 60 Minutes and brag about breaking the law, which is essentially what the Wisconsin fake electors were doing, that there's got to be something in the law which provides some accountability for them. And the thing that scares me about, you know, and again, the Attorney General has taken some steps, you know, and I think you reacted perfectly and very swiftly when it came to the Dinney situation in Wausau. Excuse me. You know, you never reinforce an undesired behavior, and we know darn well, and you see it time and time again over the years when corrupt Republican administrations aren't held accountable by the people following them, that the next people do something even worse.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's what concerns me, because they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop now. I'll say this. I believe that the Attorney General understands the gravity of this. I know for a fact that he cares about the right to vote. You know, he was an attorney. He was the attorney for the organization I ran when we restored early voting rights prior to them being retaken away by a 3-judge Republican panel in the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. But, you know, so I think he will have in place the things that need to make sure that the elections are protected, election integrity is in place. And I do think that, you know, most signs are that all the voting is, you know, that clerks are very conscientious and they're proceeding, you know, the way that they should, because, you know, they believe in this and they want to make sure that we're administering the elections in the fair, accurate way, despite the attempts by Republicans to denigrate the system. And the reason they do that is because the number one reason why people end up not voting in the end isn't because they dislike the people. It's because they're confused about whether or not there are problems at the polls. So that's why Republicans are doing this now.
And they continue to do it. They did it before. They're still doing it now. They are the ones that are causing the angst and the concerns. And you hear the MAGA say it all the time. Well, big issue with our constituents is whether or not we have, you know, free and fair elections. Well, yeah, they're a big issue because you're up there questioning whether or not we have free and fair elections. We have like 1,800 some different clerks in this and volunteers and grandmas and neighbors that go and do this thing. Folks, that is Scott Ross. He's a Gen Xer, Gemini. He's Mr. Ethics. He's going to come back for another segment. Stick around.
All veils and misty. Streets are blue. Almond looks that chill divine. Some silken moment goes on forever.
Hey, and welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Our fine guest, Scott Ross, sticking around for another 8 minutes or so. He's Mr. Ethics. He's a Gen Xer, and he's a Gemini. He's a friend of ours, and he's a firebrand. I love it when you come around, Scott. Thank you for joining me. The constant drumbeat of folks lamenting, I think erroneously, that the vice president hasn't been doing any interviews, Scott. I mean, She's avoiding everyone altogether, like she scurries away like a little rat when the press comes calling. And of course, that's just a bunch of bunk. She's scheduled to do, what, 60 minutes? Is that going to be tonight? And Donald Trump himself canceled his 60-minute interview. What's your take on that, Scott?
Absolutely. She's got 60 minutes. She's got a Univision town hall, The View, Howard Stern, Colbert, you know, Oprah, NABG. I mean, it's, you know what it is? It's a couple outlets, like, you know, a couple Republican owned outlets like Politico and the New York Times, who have it in for the Democrats and have it in for Kamala Harris in particular. And so this is just garbage. Like, she is making all the right moves, I think, press wise. I think she's made herself available to the press here in Wisconsin. She's here all the time. So, you know, I think that it's ridiculous. I mean, let's not forget that, you know, Donald Trump called it in for like 4 years. You know, did you ever see him in person? Maybe once in a while he'd like sit before Laura Ingraham or Hannity. But for the most part, it was, you know, phone calls, you know, constantly, you know, the media just bent over backwards to accommodate him because he was good ratings at one point. But I think that's failing now. I think that they're seeing, you know, that he's not the ratings draw he used to be, because again, these 2 hour rambling, incoherent, you know, fascist pronouncements, dictator on day one, the lies over and over again, cats and dogs, you know, just over and over again. I mean, it's like this is some kind of like demented, fraudulent exercise to see at what point in time is his head going to, you know, fire shoot out of it, and you know him display like, oh yes, this was just a ruse. I've lost my metaphor, but it's just insane.
Well, and to your point though, when the even when he did the interviews, and I think it was the one of the Hannity interviews where Hannity was literally leading him along, like, hey, Mr. Awesome President who has great crowds and great hair, you would never be a dictator, would you? I mean, he was leading him to the say, hell no, I'd never be a dictator. And Trump couldn't even do that. Trump said, no, I'll be a dictator on day one. Just day one, I'll be a dictator.
Yeah. But I mean, the thing is, this is the thing, Tom, is that Trump does embody the Republicans. And not just MAGA Republicans, but all Republicans, because they are relentless. You know, they are unflinching and relentless and will not stop until they get what they want. And, you know, you can look at, you know, across the board, you can look at it in the House of Representatives, you can look at the Senate. God, the U.S. Supreme Court, the United States Supreme Court, which has been in Republican hands, it's been controlled by Republican presidents, have made, you know, every single court since June 9th, 1970. You know, like, dude, the last time Democratic presidents had appointed a majority of U.S. Supreme Court justices was a month before you and I were born, May 14th, 1969. That was the last day in which a majority of Supreme Court justices had been appointed by Democratic presidents. Nobody talks about that. We now, like, you know, it is, you know, if you think about how perverse it is that one branch of the government has been controlled by one party for 54 years, and it is never reported. I mean, have you ever heard that before? You know, like, it's just completely ignored.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that, you know, well, there were Republicans who were moderates because they let abortion stand. Like, they said women weren't necessarily second-class citizens. Workers are second-class citizens. Corporations are much more important. You know, all these horrendous things that they've done, you know, over the last, like, 54 years, you know. But like John Roberts is kind of a moderate, which is garbage, which is just trash, garbage.
Well, he's got that, you know, hair. And come on, man. And to even not to go on a tangent, but
yeah, you know,
the gifts, the gratuity, how are, what do you call in the $4+ million that Justice Clarence Thomas has pocketed over the years? I mean, I used to think that that was probably not a good thing, but now nothing happens, Scott. Nothing has happened. ProPublica came out. And they lamented, they put, maybe redid some filings, but the deuce hasn't paid a price for it.
Well, you know, the last time the Democratic appointees controlled the U.S. Supreme Court, Abe Fortas had to resign in May 14th, 1969, because it was learned that he had $20,000 from some sort of an investment. that was why he resigned. That, you know, the Nixon White, you know, they were pressuring him, and that's why he
$20,000. You know, come on, how
the Nixon White House and John Mitchell were investigating him to try and get him to resign, and he did because Democrats were like, man, maybe it's not cool that this guy did this, you know, so we will, he should be held accountable. But when it comes to the Republicans, there is literally no bad that can happen. There is nothing because they are singularly purposeful, you know. All Democrats want to help people. Republicans want power, you know, and that is where that's where things go awry.
All right. Let me ask you this, Scott Ross, last couple of minutes here of our time together today. Kamala Harris was in town just last week with Liz Cheney, former Congresswoman Liz Cheney. She was very high up in the Republican Party. Her and other folks are coming out and supporting Kamala Harris and the Democrats this time around. Do you think that's important? Do you think it moves the needle? Does it matter? Do you think, Scott?
I mean, I think it matters. I think it matters a little bit, you know, because there are some people out there who are still undecided. You know, there are a handful of people, and I don't think that that helps Donald Trump. I don't think it helps the Republicans to have high-profile Republicans come out and take a very principled stand. I mean, it is a very principled stand. You know, you can dislike Liz Cheney, you know, mark that in stark contrast to cowards like gutless Paul Ryan.
Yeah.
You know, who constantly says Trump's bad to the, you know, when the media talks to him, but he's not going to vote for Kamala Harris. Like, that's just garbage, you know?
He is Scott Ross. He's Mr. Ethics. He's a Gen Xer and he's a Gemini. He's also a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. Tough game last night, Scott. Did you stay up for it?
I was thankfully asleep when the badness happened.
Well, it's always great when you come around, Scott. Thank you for joining me and look forward to doing it again next time.
Absolutely, Dom. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure, folks. This is the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Going to come back with some of your calls and some more of the headlines.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Be a part. I want to thank Scott Ross, Mr. Ethics, a Gemini and a Gen Xer, and a fun dude with lots to say, man. I love it when Scott comes around. It was always a pleasure. Almost as fun as talking to you folks, 855-75-CIVIC. I just want to throw this out there as well. I mean, news, sports, and weather. Let's get to a little bit of weather, but there is a political bend to this, so bear with me. And Axios is reporting that evacuations are underway in the Tampa Bay area and other parts of Florida's Gulf Coast as powerful Category 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, Hurricane Milton explosively intensified ahead of its approach to the state's Gulf Coast on Wednesday. The storm poses a dire scenario of potential direct hit on Tampa Bay from the south-southwest that would push an unprecedented 10 to 15-foot storm surge into the bay and other locations along to the south of where the eye crosses the coast. Now, for comparison, the peak surge in Tampa during Hurricane Helene was at the end of the range of 4 to 8 feet. It proved extremely damaging and raised awareness about the city's overall surge risk exposure. A hurricane storm surge watches have been issued along the state's west coast with the National Hurricane Center playing catch-up. As the storm, Mike Lowry, hurricane specialist and storm surge expert at the local WPLG in Miami, noted that Tampa Bay's storm surge forecast is the highest that the Hurricane Center has ever issued for that location.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. A storm track just to the south of Tampa would spare the city from the worst surge impact, but put other heavily populated areas at risk as well. I spent time down in Sarasota, south of Tampa when I was a kid. Hell, even when I was an adult. Love the Gulf Coast side over there. Those beautiful white beaches, man. Naples up to Sarasota, up to St. Pete and up to Tampa and Clearwater, man. And that's a shallow bay. So if that Category 5, and that thing went from a 2 to a 5 in like 10 hours. I don't have the numbers in front of me.
Yeah, it was a tropical storm last I saw
it was
yesterday.
It crazy. And I just thought to myself when I saw this, man, I mean, the Gulf is hot. I mean, the Gulf's hot right now. And this thing is coming off of Mexico. And it's going right towards Florida. I'm like, man, that's going to, and it did. I thought myself, well, it's going to pick up some steam. Well, unfortunately, it certainly has. The storm started Monday with 90-mile-an-hour maximum sustained winds during the Hurricane Hunter flight. Milton is now one of the most intense hurricanes on record in the Gulf of Mexico based on wind speed and even the broader Atlantic Ocean using surface air pressure readings. The most intensive hurricane on record, one of the most, and it's going apparently right towards Tampa. Now, we hear lies, damn lies, and more lies from the Megas and the Republicans. Ah, you know, FEMA's is doing terrible, and this administration, the Harris-Biden, it's no longer the Biden-Harris administration, it's now the Harris-Biden administration, if you're MAGA. Oh, they're not doing what they need to do with FEMA, and they're taking $1 billion, and they're just giving it to these, murderous migrant immigrants, I guess. Of course, it doesn't even matter what they said or what the cause was, because I'm going to tell you, it's all bunk. As soon as a guy opens his mouth and lies, it doesn't matter what the lie was. So I'm going to be a little inaccurate, perhaps sometimes, on what the guy was lying about. Because I can't keep track of all the lies.
He certainly can't.
He can't. He doesn't try.
No.
It doesn't matter.
Why would he?
You only
anything
need to,
he says is gospel. So
you only need to keep track of the lies if you're trying to cover for yourself in the future. It's why I stopped lying a long time ago in my young adult life.
Yeah, that makes it easier.
Makes life a whole lot easier.
Yeah.
I prefer the bare truth, people. It's better that way. So Donald Trump and Megas are lying about the efforts of this administration to help out in South Carolina and North Carolina and Florida and so on and so forth. Even those Republican governors and mayors and local folks are pushing back on what Donald Trump is saying. I think even the Charlotte Observer was calling Trump out for his lies. Because, of course, it's just another opportunity. Never let a good disaster go to waste. And that's exactly what Donald Trump and the Megas are doing. It doesn't matter that it's not true. All that matters is that it feeds the base. And that's what they're trying to do. Well, in this particular case, well, let's throw DeSantis in there as well. As ABC News is reporting, DeSantis has refused to take a call with Vice President Kamala Harris about Hurricane Milton, according to a source close to the governor. The DeSantis team claimed the vice president's outreach is politically motivated. According to the source, DeSantis staffers also said that the governor has not spoken to President Joe Biden in the last few days. DeSantis later said he was unaware. I did not know that the vice president had reached out. His quote, no, I didn't know she called me. I saw the report, but I was not aware of that. Governor also said he had not spoken to Biden, but noted that he was thankful that Biden had approved what we asked for. In response to DeSantis's purported snub, Harris called it utterly responsible and selfish to play political games. I'm assuming that's a typo. Utterly irresponsible and selfish to play political games at a time of crisis. Well, come on, Harris. This is the best time for Republicans. People are in desperate need of support right now. And playing political games with this moment in these crisis situations, these are the height of emergency situations. It's utterly irresponsible and it's selfish. The governor did speak with Federal Management Agency Administrator Deanne Criswell on Sunday, and federal officials are continuing to work with the state emergency managers to prepare for Milton's landfall. Folks, I mean, there's evacuations. More than 50 counties along Florida's west coast are now under a state of emergency orders, and several are under evacuation orders, including Charlotte, Hillsborough, Manatee, Pasco, Pinellas, and Sarasota. I mean, I literally have family in Sarasota still right now. Man, all evacuation orders are listed on Florida's Division of Emergency Management website. This storm is expected to weaken, thankfully, before it hits land, but will still be a major Category 3 hurricane by the time it makes landfall in Florida late Wednesday night or early Thursday. Ahead of landfall, Biden approved an emergency declaration for the state to allow federal assistance to begin supplementing local efforts. Well, he already did that, huh? You didn't hear Trump talk about that. You hear Vance talk about that, and the Megas talk about that. Of course not. They want to use this situation to hit Biden over the head with because they get some sort of political advantage, they think. But of course, not only is it irresponsible and selfish, as the vice president noted, they're also lies. They're lying to you. They continue to lie to you. Last paragraph here from the ABC News. A record-breaking storm surge of 8 to 12 feet is expected in the Tampa Bay area as Floridians continue cleaning up from the 6 to 8 feet of storm surge that was brought by Hurricane Helene.
That's just so much.
It's so much. It's so much.
Yeah.
So if you go to Florida, folks, maybe rent. Don't buy.
Yeah, maybe maybe boat.
Oh, that is, it's just tragic. And we feel for our fellow citizens in Florida, regardless of what their political persuasion is. We feel for them. And we want, as we the people, through our resources and in our actions, through our self-governance, to provide what relief we can for the folks that need it, regardless of their political persuasion, regardless of their megas or their libertarians or if they're Democrats. That's what we the people is all about. And that's why we do these things. That's why we have a federal government. That's why we had a FEMA. But my understanding is there's some funding bills for FEMA that a bunch of Republicans, well, they didn't vote for it, according to the Kamala HQ, and I'm granted the source. These are Republicans who voted against FEMA funding 2 weeks ago. And there's a list, and I tweeted it out at the Dom Salvia Twitter. There's a lot of them. Lots of Republicans. Tommy Tuberville, he didn't. Lots. Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, he didn't vote for that. You don't need any stinking FEMA funding. And it was. Donald Trump, while he was president, pulled money out of FEMA and diverted it to his deportation, his wall, his migrant, whatever you want to call it, his efforts. So when Donald Trump talks about pulling money out of FEMA and redirecting, he knows
it's projection. It's what always he projection.
Right.
Every time.
If they're spewing it, they're doing it, right, Tom?
Uh-huh.
I know you love it. 855-752-4842. Keith from Middleton, you are next. Welcome, Keith. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dom, I love you, man, and I know you're on the right, you're doing the right thing, and you're bringing this up, and a lot of us do this. You know, it's like they are so wrong. Republicans are so wrong politicizing all this stuff.
Yeah, terrible.
Especially Trump. You are absolutely right. Trump took money out of FEMA funds to build his wall. And then now everything he says is projection or confession. And you know what? No matter what we say, no matter how many times we say it, we can talk to her blue in the face,
yeah,
Dom.
Yeah.
They don't care. They just do not care. And I don't know how we get them to care, Dom. How do we do this?
Keith, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked it. As I stall and pause, I think ultimately, man, we got to win this election. We got to win this election.
Up and down the ballot.
Yeah, up and down the ballot. I mean, we need to come out swinging, electorally speaking. And I saw one of the filmmaker guy. I forgot the guy who did Flint. I think it was him. Or it was some folks that were laying out the groundwork of what the math could actually electorally look like. And it could be very close. Obviously, Trump could win, but it could be a blowout, Keith. I don't know that we're going to be able to penetrate the mind of the mega with just the facts and, my good looks and persuasion and charm. If that hasn't worked already, Jess, then you got to do it then,
Okay.
All right. It's up to Keith. It's going to be up to Jess.
We got this.
No pressure.
No stakes. We're good.
Donald Trump and the megas are lying. Right. And you can be concerned about things that you're concerned about. If it's migration, if it's taxes, if it's inflation, GDP, if it's your 401k, I mean, everyone has their own self-interest and their own filter that they see the world through. And I'm not going to denigrate what people find or what they think is important. I have my own opinions on things, and I'm happy to have the argument and discuss them with folks. One of my things that matter to me is character and consistency. And that's not something we see out of Donald Trump, certainly. The only thing consistency we see is the inconsistency. the consistency of lies, perhaps, if that's something that you can talk about that is, happens over and over and over again. Sure. There you go. He's very consistent at the lies. So if people are in their bubble, if they're in their sleeve of information, they're not going to go out and everyone else is lying to them and only Donald Trump tells them the truth. When Donald Trump tells them they're going to win the election, they don't win. Then you're going to see the truth. When Donald Trump stands up and says, and stands trial for his efforts on January 6th, which I think is the most important one, and maybe he gets convicted. Because you know what? I mean, you see the stuff from that Jack Smith released, not Jack Smith, pardon me, Judge Chutkan released of Jack Smith's writings of the efforts that Donald Trump did during the insurrection. I mean, he was certainly guilty of it, acting in his private capacity. If Donald Trump finally pays a price for that, a legal price, and there is a legal consequence to it, I think ultimately you see some people kind of fall off. You know, when the kingpin is convicted, all of a sudden there's a whole lot less people running around. And it's not just the megas and the folks that, you know, don't go out and vote very much. It's the actual folks like Speaker Mike Johnson. And we have a little bit of sound I want to play from George Stephanopoulos last night that are really concerning, because this is supposed to be a man of leadership, second in line to the presidency, and he can't even answer very basic factual questions from a newsman. This is the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. We'll play that when we come back.
Broken bones and bloodshot eyes. I hope you like my new disguise. We're not the same, you and I, so don't you forget.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit me up right now, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. How do we convince the MAGAs that they're being lied to? I don't know. But how about you? Are you convinced? I'm convinced. Are you buying what they're selling? Because I'm not. Speaker Mike Johnson on George Stephanopoulos. Yesterday. We got a couple of cuts here I want to highlight for you. The first cut will be Donald Trump accusing the Dems, essentially, of the attempted assassination, followed up, I believe, by Don Jr. Reiterating that fact. And that is the basis for George's questions for Speaker Johnson. Let's start with cut 3.1, please.
Over the past 8 years, those who want to stop us from achieving this future have slandered me, impeached me, indicted me, tried to throw me off the ballot, and who knows, maybe even tried to kill me.
They tried to kill him. And it's because the Democratic Party, they can't do anything right. They can't do anything right.
Authorities have found no political motivation connected to the gunman. Since the attempt on his life, the race has transformed. President Biden dropping out, Harris closing in.
Try to slander me, impeach me, indict me, who knows, maybe even have me killed. Well, slander, sorry, sir, you're a public figure. That's not true. Impeach, yeah, they did try to impeach you. One, for holding up aid to Ukraine and asking Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, to, you know, dig up some fake dirt on your opponent, Joe Biden, at the time. I want you to do me a favor, though. And then they impeached him again after he sent a mob to the Capitol to stop the peaceful transfer of power. He's been indicted. Yes, he's been indicted many times for fraud based on some of those things, for taking the secret documents from our country's crown jewels, quote unquote, and, you know, hoarding them at his Mar-a-Lago estate. He's been indicted for that. He's been indicted for trying to pressure, what, Georgia? The RICO case. Just help me find 11,780 votes.
Just help me find them.
I mean, it's just one more than I need. So, Stephanopoulos asked Mike Johnson, the speaker, about that. Cut two, please.
And the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. Mr. Speaker, thank you for joining us this morning. In the wake of the assassination attempts on Donald Trump, you urged all sides to tone down the rhetoric. So is it right for the president and his family to suggest that Democrats are behind the effort to assassinate him?
I just saw the clip. I was at an event in Texas last night, so I didn't watch all the remarks from Pennsylvania. I will tell you, I talked to President Trump right after it, and he was pleased. They had a massive crowd there.
Yeah, big crowd.
And, big crowd. That's the important part.
Most important.
I didn't hear all the comments. I don't know the context.
I don't know the context.
I didn't hear all the comments. Well, how about giving him the context? Cut three, please.
And I don't know what more context you need. Here's exactly what Eric Trump said. They tried to smear us. They came after us. They impeached him twice. And then, guys, they tried to kill him. They tried to kill him. And it's because the Democratic Party, they can't do anything right. What more context do you need? Do you support that statement or not?
George, I'm not going to parse the language what people say at rallies.
No,
I can give you pages and pages of crazy comments by the leading Democrats in this country.
Binders of women.
That's not what this is about. We have to talk about the greatest collection of challenges that this country's facing probably since World War II, maybe the Civil War. Let's put all this political nonsense behind us
and
talk about how we get out of this mess. And I believe the way we do, and I believe a large number, the majority of the American people understand, you have to put steady hands at the wheel. You've got to put President Donald J. Trump back in the White House.
Steady according
to stability
hands.
Back. He will get the economy going again. He will restore our stature
experts.
On the world stage. At a time where we're facing almost on the verge of World War III, you have got to get his leadership back in the White House. That's why the massive crowds are drawn to these rallies, and that's why I believe we're going to win in November.
Oh.
Isn't that rhetoric the kind of political nonsense you're talking about?
Look, we're in election cycle. This is a silly season, as they say. We're 30
season.
Days
silly.
Out from the most fateful election of our lifetime.
So, no, can't answer it. Okay, let's see. What else are we on? Let's go cut number four, please.
Aye, aye.
Isn't that rhetoric?
Oh,
so it's very clear you're not going to condemn the basic suggestion the Democrats are behind the assassination attempt on Donald Trump.
George,
I want to ask you another question.
There are so many. Please.
Well, you have the opportunity to condemn it if you want.
Oh, please move along. I don't want to ask. Okay, let's ask the next question. Cut five.
I do want to ask you a question that Senator Vance did not answer.
It'll take us just about
this
to the
week's
end.
Debate. Can you say unequivocally that Joe Biden won the 2020 election and Donald Trump lost?
Pause.
See, this is the game that is always played by mainstream media with leading Republicans. It's a gotcha game. You want us to litigate things
right,
that happened
let's
four
bring it
years
down.
Ago.
It's not a gotcha game. And perhaps a question, and George is a very fine interviewer, so I'm going to give a little unsolicited advice. How about this? Mr. Speaker, Donald Trump said he won the election in 2020, and it was rigged. What does he mean by that? What do you think he means by that? Do you believe what Donald Trump said? Instead of, oh, the media is saying this, the media is saying this. Of course the media is saying it because your guy keeps bringing it up. Cindy from Wisconsin, I can give you 45 seconds. Welcome. What do you got, Cindy?
Hey, how you doing this evening?
Good, thank you.
Good. Hey, I was just saying, you know, I listen to one radio station and the Republicans, you know, they bash the Democrats, and you got the Democrat radio station and they bash the Republicans. And it's just, I don't know how to vote this year. I'm independent and I don't know which way to go. And I, quite honestly, I feel like, you know, all sides are lying, and I almost feel like it's just the government, the big government against us, the people. And
Cindy, thank you for listening and thank you for calling. I wish I had more time. Call back tomorrow. I want to have this conversation. The short answer is you vote for the Democrats. I mean, I'm down. I mean, if you're concerned, you vote for the Democrats. Be like Liz Cheney. You know what I'm saying? This is very important. But I want to get to some of what your concerns are. So call me back tomorrow if you would, please, folks. I want to say thank you to Michelle Velasquez from Planned Parenthood Advocates. Of course, Scott Ross. We'll see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.